We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord, and a welcome to everyone that's here, and especially to that contingent from Cornerstone who joined us this morning. I think everybody in church, women included, ought to have devotions one time. And here's the reason, that when we sing the songs ahead of when I have a devotional, for some reason the songs just, they mean something more than I don't know why I haven't learned to worship like I ought to in the pew, I mean that pew, but I'm just saying that several things stood out to me this morning, and I'd just like to point out a couple of verses that meant especially much to me. The very last part of verse 3 of the first song. By the way, these songs, I thought, just in a fresh way, turned my heart, pulled my heart to God. It says that through the church the song goes on. And here's the song. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit, three we name thee. Though in essence only one, undivided God, we claim thee. And adoring, bend the knee, while we own the mystery. And then we followed up with this prayer. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Wean it from the earth, wean it from earth through all its pulses move. Stoop to my weakness, mighty as thou art. Make me love thee as I ought to love. That is my prayer for this morning as we've gathered. I would like to, in a few brief meditational thoughts this morning, refer to a comment that the Apostle Paul makes in the Sunday school lesson. He talks about the trip he's going to make back to Jerusalem with the gift from the Macedonians to the folks at Jerusalem, to the poor at Jerusalem. And then he has this comment, this is my words, they owe it. The folks in Macedonia owe some money to the folks back at Jerusalem because they have become partakers of the goodness of God. It led me down a path that I was pondering for the past week, and I hope I can tie this together where it makes sense. And that question is indebtedness. To who are we indebted? I'm going to read to you a story. If you would turn to Luke 16, I'm going to read to you a brief story, or part of the story, of Lazarus and the rich man, beginning in verse 19. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at the gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest all thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. What does this have to do with indebtedness? Well, at that point, the rich man could no longer pay Lazarus enough money or enough of anything to get even a drop of water on his tongue. for the first, I always thought that maybe the rich man sat, I mean, that Lazarus sat under the rich man's table and got the crumbs. It just says here he wished he could have them. So whether or not he got any crumbs, I don't know. And I had this picture of the dogs licking up the crumbs under the table. And but this doesn't say that either. It just says that Lazarus wanted the crumbs, and the dogs licked his sores. That's all it says. Well, so much for some of the ways we think, some of the ways that that I have formed this story in my mind. But the question that begs to be answered here is, who owes who what? And it's pretty obvious, I think, from this passage, that the rich man owed Lazarus something. Not because Lazarus did a thing to earn it, but it was purely their stations in life demanded something of the rich man that he never gave to Lazarus, apparently. And I can't look at this story and wash my hands and say, well, that story applies to the rich man and Lazarus, but it has no application for us today, because I think it has a lot of application. So I'd like to just take you on a little bit of a journey in thought here. We as a body, we as people, owe so much, first of all, to God our Creator. But then we owe so much to each other. In fact, we have so little that we don't owe to other people in some way. Think with me a bit. The progress that we are enjoying today in the world is a result of many, many people's efforts. I have this, now this isn't original with me, but I would subscribe to the idea that before the flood, when man lived to be, you know, 600, 700, 800, 900 years of age, they were able to build on their own knowledge a lot. And so I think it's conceivable. I don't think they had computers back then, but there is some evidence that they were a very advanced society by then. But you see, they had a lot of time to build on that. Well, by the time a person matures to the age of 20 and begins now to, you're productive young people too, but I'm just saying that when you start giving back to life, maybe would be the way to say it, at least in a mature kind of way. I don't know how. Anyhow, you're all good. It's just that we start, at some point, we start to give more than we take, okay? Well, we have approximately, 40, 50 years that we then, what we call, are productive in life. And then things begin to go south, as we say. Well, what would it be like? And so in that time, we have to build on what everybody else has built up until now. Now, so what would it have been like back when you lived to be another 800 years of real productivity? It would have been amazing what could have been accomplished. Well, today, I'm simply pointing this out because today I think we owe so much to each other. It's been said that by now there is no original score in music, or there is nothing like a new score that is entirely original, that those possibilities have been entirely exhausted. I can't prove that. I don't think anybody can, but that's a guess of someone. The ideas and the innovations that we come up with are almost always a result of the people or the world around us. Very seldom, if ever, do we come up with an idea that is original, that has not been inspired at least by someone else. Have you ever sat in a meeting and you had a good discussion going, and then you had the prize winning idea of the evening, and you go home and tell your wife? Now, probably others don't do this, but you go home and you tell your wife that I said this, or you recount it to a friend later. I said this, and it changed the course of the meeting, you know? Well, take credit if we want to, but let me ask, why did you have the idea to begin with? It is oftentimes sort of the sum total of everybody working together, and then someone gets a good idea. And so it's a little bit like a basketball player, excuse the reference to sports here, it's a little like a basketball player making the winning shot, as we call it, and then claiming to have won the game. You know that there was a lot that went into it before then. And so I think we ought to be careful a little bit how we look at those things. And the only reason for bringing this up is just that I want for us to stop and think how much we owe to each other. But I'll get to the really important thing just directly here. There's much more that could be said. There's ways to protect what they call intellectual property, and I have questions about the ethics of that. Not that I think it's wrong to have a copyright or a patent or something like that, but truth be told, we are all asked to give something to life. And some people have ideas that are either patentable or copyrightable or and so forth. But truth be told, we all feed off of each other. I'm getting long-winded here. I will hurry. Last Sunday evening, we heard, or I should say some of us heard, a report on Heralds of Hope. And I was just impressed with their reach into the world around us. And for the benefit of those who weren't here, I'd like to just give you a few statistics. They are just about to, after now a number of years, working at getting getting their ministry to the Pashtun people of the world. And their report says that they would have approximately 210 million people who might listen to this message, and that's roughly two-thirds of the population of the United States. They can only afford a 15-minute slot once a week. I asked why, because it's so costly to do that. They said that in the area of Nigeria where Boko Haram is prevalent, they have one 15-minute spot per week, and they get on an average of 100 responses for every broadcast. That is amazing. And this is now going to places where people cannot go. You know, I look at these and I say, so what is my responsibility? It feels like we owe something to the world when there is such incredible needs, spiritual and not even mentioning the physical needs of this world. Well, at first blush, it seems like our indebtedness is to people. And there is truth to that because people are involved. However, I think there's a bigger picture that we often fail to see, and that is who we are really accountable to, who we are really responsible for. Who was superintending the conversation between Abraham and the rich man? It was the God of heaven that we this morning sang that we'd like to get to know, that we want to know better, and we want to follow him faithfully. God is not somehow just a detached judge of, he's not an arbitrator. He's not just someone who is making a judgment between two parties and is completely uninvolved, because he has created every human being in his image. And so, in a very real sense, God sits in judgment of our actions, of our motives, not because he is detached, but because he cares about the people whose lives we touch. If you think, as you as parents, stop and think about how it is when someone offends your child. It's a little bit that way with God, I believe. When we miss or we spurn the opportunities he gives us to invest in other people. Now there are many, many ways that can happen. And this morning, I'm not here prescribing that everybody has to give to Heralds of Hope. But I'm saying that that is one of those ways. It's sort of a current one that came to me. In the end, we are indebted to God, who is the great mortgage holder of all that we have. We have met this morning to meet this God, to revive our spirits, that we may focus on him who truly owns us and to whom we will finally give account. Let's not forget that we are indebted to everybody. Let's kneel and pray. Lord and Father, we thank you this morning that you have graced us with this opportunity of gathering. It's an opportunity that we often take for granted, and I do. And this morning we just come confessing our need to again walk closer to you and to allow you the work that you want to do in our hearts. And Father, I just pray that you would bless the remainder of this service. Pray that you would give us your spirit. Help us to hear from you. And may our lives henceforth, again, continue to demonstrate our love for you and your love for us as we share it with our fellow human beings. May we consider ourselves indebted, remembering that what we have is a gift from you and a gift from others. In Jesus' name, amen.